The tongue is a fire. Several years ago, someone asked me if my sermon titles have any resemblance to the sermons, and I said only coincidentally, because they have to be turned in so early. For those of you who like to keep track of titles, this one would be entitled Tongues of Fire. Last night, I had the privilege to officiate at a wedding at the Waterhouse here in Peoria. And as a wedding favor, on each table place, there was a package for the fixings of s'mores. The biggest marshmallows I ever saw, two marshmallows that were at least this big around, a square of chocolate, and 2 graham crackers. Fire can bring back so many memories for those of us who remember church camp or camps or fall evenings around the fire making s'mores. If we were at a church camp, we may have had someone have a guitar and we began to sing around the fire in the stillness of the night. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up in its glowing. Fires can create many happy memories and feelings of warmth. I remember when I was in my 20s before I was married, I visited a woman named Olive Stewart. My father had lived with the Stewarts in rural Princeville one summer when he was 15 years old after his mother unexpectedly died on the West Coast. Well, visiting his brother, his older brother, who was being sent to Iwo Jima as a part of the Marine Corps. My father's world had fallen apart with the death of his mother as his own father struggled with how to deal with 4 children still at home. And he used to tell me stories of helping Carl in the field pitching square bales of hay on the back of a hay wagon. But there was one visit with Olive Stewart that I remembered very distinctly. I went down the long country lane at her house, which no longer stands, having been consumed by cornfields. As I pulled into the driveway and drew to a stop, I had to get out of the car and move around banty chickens that ran in the yard. Walking through her wooden gate, I saw her very neat flower garden that seemed to always be in bloom depending on the season. I was there to do a few household chores for her since she was elderly now and Carl had died many years before. The chores were very light, and Olive insisted that we take time to sit on the front porch, and then she wanted to fix me a hot meal. So I went into her kitchen. They had no electricity. She still used kerosene lamps. And she got corn cobs out of a bin and began to place them in the stove in order to cook our meal. And the glow of the fire in that stove fed not only our physical nourishment, but our fellowship. It's funny, but I had not remembered that day or thought about that day over 40 years ago until I was preparing for this morning's message. It strikes me that the flames of fire can be like the flames of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the gathered disciples, empowering them to spread the word of God's amazing saving love and grace, witnessed to in the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a love that changed the world. Fire can build memories, but fire can also destroy. By the end of July of this year, over 13,000 firefighters were battling 12 blazes in California. Wildfires, going by various names, the Carr Fire, the Holy Spirit Fire. These fires burned over 688,000 acres and covered a swath of California that was greater than 1,000 square miles, destroying homes and keepsakes and lives and structures in its wake. When we started the series on James, I shared with you that to me, the letter of James is Christianity 101. It talks to us about how we are called to live out our baptism in our everyday lives and how we are to live together as a community of faith in the midst of a broken world, how we are to witness to the one whom we call Lord. Our speech is a type of fire, James says. How we speak to or about one another is a barometer of our health as a community of faith. Do we seek to build up or tear down? Do we seek to gossip or to share the truth in love? Do we seek reconciliation or do we sow seeds of division? Our words and our actions are the true witness to the greater world of our faith community and even our faith itself. It is reported that Gandhi once said that he was a great admirer of the teachings of Jesus and that he would be tempted to become a disciple of Jesus, to become a Christian and to be baptized if only he could meet a baptized Christian who lived the teachings of Jesus. Adam Hamilton, who's a senior minister at the largest United Methodist Church in the United States at the Resurrection, the Church of the Resurrection in Kansas City, Missouri, once told the story of riding in the car with one of his best friends. The friend had decided to take a bumper sticker from the church and to place it on the back bumper of his car, and the sticker said, "I follow Jesus." Well, as Hamilton tells the story, they were riding along, and as they were coming close to a light that was going from green to yellow to red, a car suddenly whipped in front of his friend, causing the friend to hit his brakes abruptly and jostle the driver and Hamilton. The friend honked profusely and probably muttered a few things and maybe even added a hand gesture or two to show his displeasure. And when the light turned green, Hamilton's friend zipped around the offender and pulled in front of him at a very close angle and slowed way down, causing them to miss the next light. Well, the other driver began to honk and wave his hands. And before long, you know how male testosterone seems to peak. Two adults who thought they were schoolboys jumped out of their cars and began yelling at each other. And it was then that Adam Hamilton says he heard the driver of the other car say to his friend, "Is that what following Jesus looks like?" He goes on to say, "Don't put something on your bumper that you're not willing to try to live by." The lesson of James for today is true not only of our verbal speech, but of social media. It is so easy for us to express our feelings using social media without the filters that we would ordinarily use if we were facing someone else. We can post snarky comments with the push of a button, and we can hurl 280-character zingers at one another through our Twitter accounts. It used to be you could only use 140 characters, but we have so much important things to say, so many important things to say, that they had to double the amount of characters that we could use to send our tweets. And we can pass on gossip and innuendo and outright lies about other people as we forward things that we assume is true, but we haven't taken the time to find out if they really are true or not. The Bible literally calls this gossip and backbiting. I remember being with a senior high youth group one time, when one of the members of the group said something that was really mean, cruel, and snarky about another member of the youth group. And a third member of the youth group turned to the offender and asked, "Do you kiss your mama with that mouth?" From the same mouth, James writes, comes blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? There is a story that I am sure is apocryphal, for I have seen it in various renditions, but it contains a word of truth in the truest sense of the word truth. It's about a grandfather speaking to his grandchild. The grandfather says, "There is a fight going on inside my heart. It is a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. This wolf is anger and envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. But there is another wolf inside my heart that is raging also. This wolf is full of joy and peace and love and hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight, the grandfather said, pointing to the child's chest, is going on inside of you too, and every other person. The child thought for a moment and then asked the grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" And the grandfather replied, "The one you feed." It only takes a spark, the old camp song says, to get a fire going. And soon all those around can warm up in its glowing. That's how it is with God's love, once you've experienced it. You spread God's love to everyone. You want to pass it on. Every week I've given you a homework assignment. This week's homework assignment is very simple. Think before you speak, or before you tweet, or before you forward something on. Be conscious of your baptism, that you are called to be builders of the body of Christ here on earth, because the church is the best hope of the world. And to live your life so that when your days and my days here are done, even the undertaker will be sad. To God be the glory both now and forevermore. Amen.